Hello, welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Lou.
Okay, so we got some things to actually talk about this week. I feel like we've just been gliding through the last month of the season, essentially.
Yeah, right.
And nothing to worry about. Everything's going smoothly, and then you make a trip to Miami, and then boom, it's just like 2004 all over again.
Yeah, or 2015, depending on how they finish it out.
Oh, yeah, good point. 2015 was when we were playing without Edelman in that game, right? He had a concussion.
Possibly, yeah.
And like the whole offense ground to a halt, and the exact same thing happened this week without Gronkowski.
Yeah.
Difference being in 2015, we had all kinds of offensive line problems and injuries. We're missing Marcus Cannon this week. We just found out he's on IR.
Yeah.
So now we know he's not coming back. But LaAdrian Waddle was playing great. While he was healthy, Cameron Fleming was playing fine. This game was like it was bad all around from the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
You could see from the get go, Brady was uncomfortable.
Yeah,
but I think the difference in this game was that our receivers couldn't separate from their defensive backs for whatever reason. I saw a shit ton of holding.
I was just gonna say that. I mean, they were letting them get away with bloody murder out there in terms of the Dolphins defense in general.
Yeah, the like all the highlights that they showed
was all PI.
It was all of it was holding. I'm like,
all of it.
Why are you showing all these highlights and saying that this guy did a great job? He should have been penalized on like most of those plays.
Literally, one of the ESPN analysts, who's the main dude late night after the game, former player, I can't remember his name, I'm blanking on it, but he was, you know, going through and they were talking about that cornerback Howard. Is that his name?
Yeah, Xavien Howard.
Xavien Howard, they were talking, he was, oh, how great he was to shut down Cooks, this, that, and the other thing. And all the things he's going through, and he goes, oh, he might have got a little away with something there. Oh, he might have got away with something there. And they're like, oh, but they weren't calling it, so, you know, it's that great that he was able to do it. And it's like, no, that's just shitty refereeing, because at least one of them was horrible. I think, you know, it's like, oh, my, one big third down. We did go 0-11 on third downs, which is terrible.
Yeah. They first only went 4-14.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, I blame a few things. Brady, part of the reason Cooks played bad was there were the two deep ones where Cooks had him and Brady just underthrew him. Especially
the first
on
one especially.
Yeah, especially on the first one. And the second one,
that was a great defensive play, I thought.
It was a great defensive play, but he still underthrew it a little bit. He didn't catch him in stride. He had to slow down.
He threw it 54.5 yards instead of 55.
Maybe. I'd rather him overthrow it than underthrow it.
Yeah. And
also offensively, I thought Josh McDaniels called a terrible game.
I think I don't know why we didn't run the ball more. The only thing I
could we ran the ball 10 times.
That was it, yeah. The only thing I could come up with is that Deion Lewis missed practice earlier in the week from an illness. So I was wondering if they were trying to, you know, lighten his load a little bit. But he was catching balls out of the backfield, too. So it didn't.
Five catches for 50 yards.
Didn't exactly add up. I thought. He was running the ball pretty well. Rex Burkhead was having a little more trouble, but
right. We
all know Deion's the better player, at least running the ball. And yeah, I don't know why they didn't give him more of an opportunity.
They abandoned the run. They like shut us down on one run play, and then they abandoned it. It's like, oh, we got to run for a loss. That's it. We can't go to it again the rest of the game. And it's not like we were in a huge deficit with Tom Brady, you know. They didn't need to just pass, and that's what they kept doing. And they tried, I know. No Gronk, it's tough to get things over the middle, but they didn't even fucking try.
Over the middle, you mean?
Yeah, anything in between the hashes. They didn't even try.
They didn't try at all, yeah. Outside of a couple dump downs to running backs, they didn't try to push it between even the numbers. They didn't try to put it inside there.
Nothing.
And they say that has a lot to do with the coverage that the Dolphins were playing. They were playing a lot of man-to-man coverage on the outside, mm-hmm. and they would have a linebacker patrolling the middle and a safety behind him also in the middle. They were trying to force everything outside, which is a good strategy by them. That's a defense that the Patriots play all the goddamn time.
Mm-hmm.
And it works pretty well if you don't have people that can make plays outside the numbers. We do. There's no reason that Brandon Cooks and Chris Hogan shouldn't be able to make plays outside the numbers. I think they both had off nights. I also think they were getting held. I also think that the defensive backs were playing pretty well. And I think our offensive line fell apart and their defensive line took advantage. Our play calling was completely lopsided. We were more than 80% pass.
It was terrible.
More than 80%
pass. There was like a third and one, and we don't even show the run. It's like, you don't even, you know, it's like, oh, you come out and it's like, wow, they're going to pass. They're really going to pass this ball.
Weren't we at like the 2 yard line and we came out with three receivers and James White?
Yeah.
At the 2 yard line. And I'm like, why? Can't we give at least a look?
I know. It was terrible. You know, Brady, like we mentioned, Brady threw his two picks. He had 24 for 43 in a game that you thought that he was going to immediately take the reins for the MVP running. He had a little step back, but the two passes that he got intercepted were on just bombs, just bailout bombs.
He was hucking it up. I think it was third down on both of them.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know why they couldn't get Cooks in the game anywhere else besides a long ball.
That's been the case all year.
Yeah, and the funniest thing about it is, as bad as they played, they were in it till the very end, until a couple minutes left. They were never out of it.
Well, yeah, if they get something going on that last drive of the game, when we went 3-0, we got the ball with 5 minutes to go, down 10 points, and we went 3-0, like that. Womp, womp,
stunning.
Womp. And, if that doesn't happen, then if they get the field goal on that drive instead of the ensuing one, then maybe they can get a stop and get the ball back and then try to push it for a touchdown, similar to what happened in the Texans game. But yeah, it was not their night for sure. It just wasn't. And there are so many problems in this game, but the thing that really sticks out to me, as I started this whole thing off with, the lack of separation from the receivers seems to be the glaring hole. And I think that's why we just brought in Kenny Britt.
Yeah.
Because we're like, shit, what happens if Chris Hogan and Danny Amendola and Brandon Cooks can't get separation from receivers? We're totally fucked. Who do we have that can still catch the ball despite not having separation? Well, there's Gronk, and that's it. So they go, oh, well, we need more guys that can catch the ball in traffic. So they brought in a guy that can play. He's 6'3", 220. He can play outside the numbers, and he can go up and get balls, and he can muscle people out of the way.
Yeah, good point. I mean,
in a way that we don't have elsewhere.
That was it. Brady was definitely not comfortable. I just felt like everything was going against us right before that game started. You know
why? What else?
I don't know. It was just the refs were going about us. Gruden does not like Brady, which I always forget about. But he doesn't say anything about Brady. If you notice that,
really?
He doesn't. He won't gloat about Brady like he does the other quarterbacks.
Do you think it's a Tuck rule thing?
100%.
It goes back to the snowball.
100%. He's the type of guy that would hold that as a grudge for the rest of his life. I don't know, just everything. It just didn't seem like it was flowing for those guys at all. The offensive line, like you said, took a huge step back. And I think it was just, you know, they've won so many games in a row. It's tough to do that. They got Pittsburgh next week. I'm not saying they were looking forward, but it was just, this was the quintessential trap game, and they fell into the trap.
Yeah, on the road.
All signs were pointing that they were going to.
I guess, but we didn't see it.
I didn't see it at the beginning of the week.
Once I 20 point wins.
But once I saw that Flowers was out and Van Noy was out on defense, I was like, ooh, who does that leave us with up front?
Yeah, their pass rush was so much better than ours. Our pass rush, literally non-existent. Jay Cutler had his best game of the season because we couldn't get any pressure on him.
Yeah.
He was having 5 seconds back there.
This is a team we got 7 sacks on 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. And the difference personnel-wise, I think, was Van Noy and Flowers, right? I think that's
literally. But, I mean, you look at who that is.
Those are our top two sack guys, by the way.
Those are top two sack guys. Van Noy's like the jack of all trades. Flowers is by far our best offensive lineman right now. Branch was in and out because he was kind of hurt. I mean, you had 3 or 4 guys playing on the defense that are role players that are not, you know, step in guys. They're not actual starters. Eric Lee, Marquise Flowers, that guy, who's that guy? Brycey or something? What's his name?
Jonathan Freeney?
No, Freeney was playing. We just signed him. Yeah. Riley is who I'm talking about.
Oh, Riley.
There's 4 guys where 3 of them had to be on the field at all times.
Well, if you look at when you watch the beginning of the game, like right before the game, you know, when they talk about, oh, this team's got Ndamukong Suh and this team's got Tom Brady, one of the people that they featured was Eric Lee, who's been on the Patriots for 2 weeks, a guy that came off the practice squad. And they featured him as like one of the best players on our defense, or like one of the most impactful players on our defense. Like, I don't know. You're putting a lot of trust in that guy.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, those were three guys rotating that are never there. And then you had, you know, Roberts, I thought, played a decent game overall, but you had him covering. Oh, no, exactly. Well, you put him on a running back. You put him on, what's his name?
Bad spot for him.
On Drake. And it was just like, oh, my God. Don't, you know, gee, this is, and then all of a sudden, boom, huge reception. And it's, you're thinking to yourself, well, for fuck's sake, where was, what's his name? Where was Harmon? Harmon, it's like, dude, you should have cheated that way. You knew he was going that way.
Oh, yeah, you should have seen it. I mean, he goes up against Brady every day in practice. Every time Brady sees James White or Deion Lewis on a linebacker, that's where he's going.
Right. So, and he took one step the wrong way and then went. He followed the quarterback's eyes, which he should have just went that way.
Yeah.
It's like, we'll take something on a receiver, but not a running back on a linebacker. Come on, give us a break. And even, just everything. Everything in that game was just like, nothing went well.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes these games are useful.
Oh, definitely.
Learn what your weaknesses are. And with the defense, a lot of that has to do with replacement level players. We got on here. I've said since I've been watching Landon Roberts, I don't trust that dude in coverage. And then we got on here like 3 weeks ago after he had a really good game in coverage. And like, holy shit, I never thought I'd say this, but this guy can cover. Yeah, no.
Well, definitely not one-on-one with a running back.
Not consistently. Maybe a play here, a play there, but not all the time. And we just are – we really miss Van Noy. We missed him big time.
Yeah, absolutely.
The interior of our inside linebacker play was horrific. We're missing tackles. We weren't getting any sort of pressure. The coverage wasn't there. There was it was a really critical play. It was a third down in the third quarter. The Dolphins were just inside Patriots territory, and they threw this really shallow crosser to Devontae Parker, just right across the middle. Yeah, here it is. 3rd and 4, 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. They throw a shallow crosser to Devontae Parker, and we're playing a zone coverage. No, we're playing man coverage, but we have a middle linebacker ready there to hit anybody that crosses the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Marquise Flowers. And Devontae Parker runs right in front of him, and Flowers is looking the opposite direction.
Yep, just stepped in front of him.
Yeah. Devontae Parker is 6'3 and built like a twig. You could have ruined him.
Yeah.
Ruined. He 3 yards downfield, perfectly legal, could have wrecked him. Jamie Collins used to do it all the time.
Yeah.
And instead, he lets him walk right by him. They get a critical first down. Next play, Kenyon Drake runs inside the 5 yard line. All of a sudden, we're down 2 touchdowns.
Right. Yeah. It was shit like that all the time. And that's a replacement player. I mean, even when you get down to the end and we're going for the onside kick. It's like, what the hell was that?
I don't disagree with it that much.
It didn't work right.
I think what they were trying to do was they were trying to hit something a little bit wobbly, and they wanted to force the Dolphins players to jump up and touch it. And as soon as they touched it, they wanted as many Patriots there as possible to beat the living shit out of them so he didn't control the ball.
I don't know. I don't think it's...
That's my theory.
Yeah, I think it was... He didn't kick it right because Gostowski came off and he was shaking his head like it didn't go right.
I don't know if it was...
I don't think it was supposed to be just a slow dribbler. I think it was supposed to be...
Why would you have 11 guys together if it wasn't going to be a slow dribbler?
I think it was supposed to be harder. It literally rolled perfectly. I don't think it was supposed to...
No. It wobbled a little bit.
Barely.
It wobbled a little bit. Yeah, barely. But it wasn't like a perfect spiral. You know, it was a little bit wobbly.
It didn't seem like it worked correctly. Something was supposed to happen differently.
Well, obviously it didn't work correctly. We didn't get the ball.
Yeah, but it just looked pathetic. Everyone, even the announcers, what the hell was that?
I know, because it's a new strategy.
Right.
At least that's the way I was looking at it, and I get it. I'm a homer. I get it. Mm. But I was trying to read into it what they were thinking about, and obviously Bill's not going to get on the mic and go, this is our strategy on that play, and if we had executed it perfectly, it would have gone this way. He's not going to give that to anybody else.
No. But just, you know, at least the defense, they did turn it around in the fourth quarter. They didn't let up any points.
Yeah.
Which was a positive. The secondary did play a lot better there. I mean, it shows the strength of the defense is definitely the secondary right now, which is good. I mean, they got...
It's also the healthiest portion of the
defense. It's also the healthiest. I mean, Jay Cutler went 25 for 38, 263, and 3 TDs. I mean, he, and the other thing, I've never seen him that driven to win. in a long time.
He was fired up, right?
Because he's never beaten Brady, and I'm sure for a competitive guy, that's a huge fucking thing.
He's only played him like 3 times, though.
Still.
Yeah.
To get blown out, he's gotten blown out every fucking time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's gotta weigh on you.
Especially, this is his last chance, more than likely.
Right. Kenyon Drake just went off on us. I mean, it was just...
He's a good
Kenyon
player.
Drake had the game of his life, probably, against us. But it's, you know, like you said, this could be a good thing. It's really how they respond to it. If they pull a 2015 where they kind of fall apart these last couple games, this is going to be a huge moment. If they turn it around and say, you know what, we can still lose, we got to turn shit on, and they come out against Pittsburgh and they win, no one cares about this game. This really doesn't have much, you know, bearing on anything.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. If you put Gronkowski, Flowers, Trey Flowers, and Van Noy in the field in this game,
oh,
totally shifted, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we lost by 7 points.
Yeah.
You figure Gronk alone is worth 7, you know?
Yeah. It's a totally different game if we are healthy.
100%. If we had those three guys, I mean, no, they didn't even bring that up. They didn't bring up once that we were missing Van Noy and Flowers on defense.
Sure they did. They brought up Flowers at least twice. At
you
least
sure?
Twice. Yeah, yeah. They said they're leading sackers, not in the game.
Mm, maybe.
Wow, that might have been the worst John Gruden impression of all time. That's got to be up there.
At least knew what you were going for.
It sounded way too Chicago.
But, yeah, it's just, and we weren't getting any help from the refs. I mean, there was one play we got help from the refs, but overall, I just thought it was a complete screw job. The NFL was like, make sure they lose this. Make sure they lose this.
I thought we were actually getting some decent calls for a while there. After watching how Xavien Howard was manhandling Brandon Cooks and Chris Hogan. Chris Hogan on that goddamn third down comeback route got completely hugged,
tackled.
Grabbed,
was turned, almost tackled.
Everything. And then they're like, what a great play by Xavien Howard. I'm like, are you watching the exact same play that I am?
I know. Because you can't touch him. You can't touch him after 5 yards.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if there's a little touching, sure. But like when you're bear hugging a receiver after 5 yards, that's a penalty every time.
Yeah, he was contacting him, holding him, grabbing him, and turning him all at the top of the route at the most important part, 13 yards downfield.
Yeah.
How is that not? It could have been, you could have called illegal contact, holding, and pass interference all on the same movement. Mm-hmm. And the announcers were like, oh, that's great. Look at them. Yeah, okay. Got to calm down a little bit. The game... the more that I think about it, the game was lost in the third quarter, straight up.
Yeah.
Outside of the third quarter, the Patriots outscored them 20-13. We get the ball at the end of the first half. We drive down for a field goal, and you're thinking, well, double up. We get the ball at the start of the second half. We'll get things rolling. Nope, doesn't work out that way. We wind up throwing an interception on 3rd and 16 to start the second half. Great mm-hmm. pick by Xavien Howard. Got to give him that play. But I thought he was down by contact, by the way. When I initially saw it, I thought while he was going down making the interception, he contacted Brandon Cooks, and instead he returned it for 30 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to commercial break. I thought they would have reviewed it. They didn't. So they end up with great field position. That possession turns into the touchdown to... this was the... Let me see. 1 second. What the hell am I looking at here? Oh, yeah, yeah. This is the touchdown to Jakeem Grant when he jumped over Malcolm Butler. Inexplicable mm-hmm. pass. If I'm coaching that quarterback, I can't condone you doing that. You're going to throw a jump pass to a 5'7 receiver? That's what you're going to do?
Yeah.
And you're going to leave it inside, too? The only reason that pass wasn't intercepted or deflected away is because Malcolm Butler mistimed his jump, and he just kind of stumbled. Malcolm Butler did not have a very good game.
No, and this is a few games in a row now. He really hasn't played well.
And he's coming up on his number one matchup of the season next week, too. He's got to get tuned up.
Well, that's if he's going to redeem himself, it's going to be this game.
It's going to have to be. I assume there was going to be double coverage next week. Mm-hmm. But Malcolm Butler really fucked up. Inexplicable pass. Guy makes a pretty good catch. They convert there. But yeah, we have three possessions in the third quarter. We get one first down, which is off a defensive pass interference. That's the entire offense we had.
Yeah.
And then the Jakeem Grant touchdown I mentioned before, the Devontae Parker third down conversion, which leads to Kenyon Drake getting inside the 5-yard line. Then Jarvis Landry finishes it off. They get a 14-point quarter on two possessions. We have three possessions. We didn't get dick.
Nothing.
That was it. And so they came out, after fucking up in the first half, they come out flat in the second half like that. It's brutal.
Right. I mean, their defensive line was playing inspired. Sue might have had his best game of the year.
Sue was good, and he didn't even have a sack.
He had a sack.
Did he?
He got one.
Okay. Who was that? I was thinking of Jordan Phillips.
They really didn't get a lot of sacks, but they were just... They were making... I mean, Brady doesn't take a lot of sacks. He gets rid of the ball quick, but he was just throwing the dirt or getting rid of it.
He was running around, yeah. Yeah, it was bad. Two turnovers in this game. We said last week we were very confident, and I think we actually talked about what would it take for the Patriots to lose this game. We said multiple turnovers.
Right.
We would have to lose the turnover battle by at least two.
And we did.
Lost by two.
You lose the turnover battle by two on the road, you're probably not going to win.
Yeah.
Most likely won't win. So enough of that crap.
I know. Now the Pats are sitting at 10-3, which puts them a game behind the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Also brings an end to the second longest road winning streak in the NFL, in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
That one kind of hurts. Bummer.
But that's the big thing. So now if we beat Pittsburgh this week, we take number one back, don't we? Because we have the same schedule, and we have the win over them.
Yeah, it was real difficult because on Sunday night, Pittsburgh got all they could handle from the Ravens.
They should have lost that game.
They really should have lost that game. And we're sitting here thinking, all right, if they lose to the Ravens and we beat the Dolphins, then we have a opportunity to clinch home field advantage next week in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And then the reverse happens. They beat the Ravens, we lose to the Dolphins, and now they have an opportunity to clinch home field advantage.
Right.
Bummer. Real bummer, dude. We'll talk about that Steelers-Ravens game in a minute. there were a couple. This was a really good weekend of football.
Mm-hmm.
I turned on to see which games were going to be broadcast here on Sunday, and we lucked the fuck out because the Carolina-Minnesota game was tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Newton with that massive run at the end of the game. I like that Minnesota team. Case Keenum played great. His receivers let him down. I think there were two tip ball interceptions.
Really?
That really kind of turned that game. Yeah, he got kind of fucked, but he played great. And then after that, the Eagles go to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Take down the Rams. But unfortunately, it was really like a freak injury on Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
It was really unusual. He got pinched between two people as he was diving, and it just hyperextended his knee. ACLs are so fragile.
Torn ACL out for the season. Yeah, it's tough.
Got to be God's worst work, right? The ACL?
I have no idea.
Got to be the worst, right?
What about the nose? Breaks all the time.
It breaks?
Easily.
You got to get punched in it to break it. Your ACL, you could just step the wrong way and whoops.
True.
But those were both tremendous games between top-notch contenders in the NFC.
Mm-hmm. What other playoff implication games? The Falcons beat the Saints in a real close one. Saints just looked terrible.
Yeah, they couldn't put it together. The Falcons were trying to give it away. It almost seemed
Yeah. Matt Ryan had some of the worst interceptions I've ever seen.
Those three interceptions, like almost back-to-back-to-back. It was terrible.
Yeah. Another one was Chiefs beat the Raiders to take that division back, which was nice for them.
Called it last week.
Actually, are they tied with the Chargers now?
I think they have the tiebreaker.
Okay.
But the Chargers are surging. You know the Chargers have the second best defense by points scored?
Really?
Yeah. Behind only the Jaguars, ahead of the Ravens, ahead of the Eagles, ahead of the Patriots are fifth in points against.
It's awesome.
Fifth.
Wow.
Yeah. Craziness.
Better than I expected.
What else was there? That snow game was pretty fun to watch, huh?
That was ridiculous.
It was like a foot of snow. It was like a straight foot of snow. It was straight up backyard football.
Yeah.
Jacoby Brissett was the passing leader in that game with 69 yards.
Jesus.
That was it.
Yeah, and then the Jags beat the Seahawks. That was another one with playoff implications, but definitely helped and hurt the teams.
Wasn't quite as close as that 30-24 score. The Jaguars, well, the Seahawks are a different team on the road. They just are.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, and that brings us...
Pittsburgh-Baltimore game. That was a heck of a game. We're both watching that game going, oh, shit. We're kind of scared of the Ravens now. Because Joe Flacco is just one of those weird guys that can just get good out of nowhere.
He'll just turn it on.
Yeah, he could look shitty for 15 weeks in a row, and then all of a sudden he's good. And combined with that defense and the special teams that they're able to play, it's a scary team. But Pittsburgh was they were fired up by missing Ryan Shazier. And God damn it, Chris Collinsworth, could you mention it more times? We get it. They're missing. It was one of the scariest injuries you're going to face on the football field.
Yeah.
We get it. Can you stop bringing it up and bringing the mood down incessantly?
Yeah.
But basically in the fourth quarter, Antonio Brown decided that the Steelers were going to win, and then that was it.
Yep.
It seemed to me like that's what happened. Antonio Brown went, just get on my back. You guys can't cover me. Mm-hmm. I'm taking the ball wherever I want to take it. And, you know, it's over, essentially. Antonio Brown has 1,500 yards already through 13 games.
And I'm looking
He's on pace for over 1,800 yards this season, over 120 catches. The Steelers have the number one rushing, rusher and the number one receiver in the NFL right now. Le'Veon Bell leads the league with 1,100 yards.
Mm-hmm. And then somehow their defense is top 10 in every category.
Yeah, but check out the last 3 weeks. Last 3 weeks, they've really had a rough go of it.
Well, once Shazier went down, I mean, that defense looked like a sieve to Baltimore. They couldn't stop anything.
Yeah. We thought our inside linebacker play was bad. Theirs was really, really bad.
It was abysmal. Plus, they have zero pass rush. I don't think they have a pass rusher.
They should.
They don't. Bud Dupree,
TJ Watt. Yeah, TJ Watt's actually good. Cam Hayward leads the team in sacks.
No, but Cameron Hayter has zero. Oh, nine. I'm sorry.
Look, he's got nine sacks. Cam Hayward is the best player in their front seven. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's on the whole defense, really. The inside linebacker play was just, it was god awful. Sean Spence, the guy that they signed off the street, God love him, but that was a tough position to be in, and he didn't play very well at all. That really should be something the Patriots have to exploit. Both of these teams played lesser opponents this week. I'm talking about the Steelers and the Patriots. Both played lesser opponents, and they both were exploited in some degree, in some fashion.
Right.
And then you're going to see that taken advantage of this weekend while they match up against each other. And unless Kyle Van Noy can go, or unless Sean Spence improves markedly, the inside linebacker play has got to be exploitation number one for both of these teams.
Does Van Noy look like he's going to be playing?
I don't know if he practiced today. Let me check.
Because if he doesn't play, or is Flat Trey going to play?
I don't think Trey's going to play.
Really?
In all honesty, yeah.
Damn, if we miss those two guys again, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, if Ben's got all the time that he wants to have with all the weapons that he's got,
they're going to tear us apart.
So Trey, the only person that did not participate in practice today was Alan Branch.
Oh.
But there's a long-ass list of people that were limited.
Okay.
Van Noy limited, Trey Flowers limited, Malcolm Butler goes on.
Okay.
Speaking of which, why didn't David Harris play this week? I get that he doesn't play special teams as much as Jonathan Freeney does, but God damn it, we could have used him on defense.
I know. I don't know. Maybe they don't like putting him in against quick running backs, but still, it's like, at that point, who gave a shit?
Yeah, it would have been nice to at least have that option.
Yeah. So I guess we could talk about this. Let's start with their offense.
Okay.
In terms, well, I'd say talk about it with the assumption that Trey's going to play and Van Noy's going to play.
Okay. If we assume that, we're in so much better shape.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If we don't have the two of them, I mean, we could let up 30, 40 points.
It could still happen.
It could still happen with the two of them. But with them, it's much less likely to happen. With the two of them not there, it's like almost a guarantee.
Yeah, for sure. Trey being the pass rush, Van Noy as well, but Van Noy also contributing and covering Le'Veon Bell. That's the big story for me, is that when these teams faced off in the AFC Championship game, Le'Veon played like two plays, right?
Yeah, last year, yeah.
He played like one series of football, and you can make an argument he is the best player on their team. Le'Veon Bell, that is.
He got three touchdowns last game.
He's a stud. He's got more yards from scrimmage than Antonio Brown does. Dude, you got to stop coughing on the mic. And he makes things happen when nothing else should happen, when really nothing's there. and he makes up for deficiencies that they have sometimes on the offensive line. Although their offensive line has been playing pretty well. When we were watching that Ravens game, David DeCastro played as poorly as I've seen him play.
Mm-hmm.
He missed a couple of big blocks.
Absolutely.
But Le'Veon Bell being on the field gives them a legitimate running attack that they didn't have in the AFC Championship game, and he is also lethal out of the backfield. And the only guy on our team that can make a reasonable case that he could stay with him even a little bit is Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah, or put a safety.
Or a safety, but really?
Like Jordan Richards?
Jordan Richards looked awful in this game.
He
don't even say that.
The sack. Oh, that was terrible.
I know, that sucked. Jay Cutler spun right out of it. The only guy that makes any sort of sense to me is Patty Chung, but he is so good on tight ends. I don't know why you would do that.
Right.
Devin McCourty? I mean, do you put Le'Veon Bell could play receiver in the NFL. He could.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe McCourty goes there.
Yeah.
That would be totally Belichick, wouldn't it?
It'd like, make more
fuck,
sense
fuck
than
all
anybody
your
else.
Convention. Like I'm gonna put my best player on your best player, and then we're gonna figure it out. Yeah, Le'Veon scares me, and especially after the way that Kenyon Drake exposed our poor tackling
and linebackers.
Linebackers, man. And Le'Veon can make it so much worse. So that's concern number one for me. And obviously number two is Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm Butler's done a terrific job on him the last 2 years. He really has.
Every time they face, he does well. I mean, you got to put him with some help over the top, and that's the best you can hope for.
Pretty much. Stephon Gilmore has been playing really good football.
Yeah.
For a bit now. And I feel confident putting him on, I guess it's Martavis Bryant.
You got to do Martavis just because the height.
Yeah.
You can't put Jonathan Jones on him. He's just too tall.
Yeah, that makes sense. And the other guy they have is Eli Rogers, who is there you go. Every time I watch Eli Rogers, I'm impressed with him. Like, how is this guy's so quick? He catches the ball well, he runs good routes. Guy has let me see this. I just want to get this right. He has 124 yards on the season.
Yeah.
What?
Dog shit.
Yeah. Why aren't you throwing this guy the ball? Every time I watch him, he's terrific.
Because of Juju.
Because they got Juju, and he's coming back this week, too, after a suspension, much like Gronk. He's going to be rearing ready to go. He's not that big. He's not nearly as big as Martavis Bryant is, but he's more filled out.
Mm.
So maybe they try to figure out which
maybe
one.
Maybe put Rowe on him.
I would actually lean towards Rowe on Martavis.
And then Gilmore on Juju?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think that might happen, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because Rowe finally started getting some time. And I mean, he originally was the third corner.
I think that between Eric Rowe and Jonathan Jones, it should be a matchup decision. Like, if Eli Rogers was playing more than Juju, then I would put Jonathan Jones in to face Eli Rogers.
Right.
But if Juju's going to come in, then I would move Gilmore into Juju and then put Eric Rowe over there on Martavis Bryant,
mm-hmm.
which is probably going to be the case because it seems like they really like Smith-Schuster. And he's been incredibly productive for them so far this season. So that kind of covers the matchups. One of the problems is that Smith-Schuster and Martavis Bryant can both get downtown. They both have home run speed, especially Bryant. And if you're shading Harmon over onto Antonio Brown, then it's like, you better not get beat deep by Martavis Bryant.
Right.
You better not. He's had a bit of a rough season after being suspended all year last year. But he still remains third on the team in targets.
Well, they really don't. It's almost like for drives of in the games, they don't even look at him.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know what's going on. And then they'll feed him the ball a couple times, and they won't look at him for a while. And it's almost like, I don't know if they're using him as a decoy or what, but they're not using him to his potential at all.
He's not happy, too. He's talked about how he wants out.
Oh, yeah. He's talking about that for a while. Yeah, you can't let them go deep. And then the other thing is Ben, too. It just, you know, I know he was hurt last game, so we'll see how much he can move around in sustained hits because he was limping pretty badly at the end of the Baltimore game. But we've always done that controlled Bill Belichick pass rush against him where it's like you only go after him if you know you got him. If you don't, you got to kind of keep him there. Because once he breaks out of the pocket, they go to scramble rules, and that's where Antonio Brown just goes off.
Yeah, exactly. That's where Antonio Brown makes his money.
Like, constantly. It's like, that's the play. So, you got to get after Ben and make him feel uncomfortable, which is tough for that big son of a gun. And it's just
100%.
And with the way our defense looked last week, I mean, if they look like they did 2 and 3 weeks ago, okay. But if they look like they did last week, we're going to have some tough, it's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, Matty P's got a tough job this week trying to figure out how to manufacture a pass rush, especially if Trey Flowers is not able to.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's completely necessary. We saw firsthand last week what a pass rush can do to an elite quarterback. Tom Brady didn't look very good.
No, he was very uncomfortable.
And if you give somebody the absence, somebody to the skill level of Ben Roethlisberger, no pass rush, he's just going to wait and he's going to tear you up.
Yeah, tear you up.
That's going to be it.
Yep.
So that is an essential part of the game. And there's really, it stinks to say this, but there's no guarantee that we'll be able to get a pass rush on him.
No, not at this juncture in time.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about their defense here for a minute. You have been going off on this defense for at least 2 years now.
Yeah, three.
Yeah.
And they're top 10 in everything. I don't even get it. I really don't get how their defense has been that consistent over the season.
They haven't really played that many good teams.
Well, that's what I was just looking up. Who have they played? I mean, their division offensively is just terrible. Cleveland, they played twice. They played Baltimore twice. They've played Jacksonville. Jacksonville put 30 on them.
Yeah, but five of those were interceptions. Like, two of those went back for touchdowns.
True.
Those weren't defensive.
Minnesota at the beginning of the year, they kind of shut down. But that was Minnesota with, you know, wasn't what they are now. Chicago put 23 on them, running the ball. Kansas City, they kind of shut down. Cincinnati's a terrible offense. It's finally started to get going. Detroit, nothing great. Indianapolis has got nothing. Tennessee's got almost nothing. Green Bay with a quarterback, without their quarterback, that was with Hundley, put up 28 on him.
Yeah.
Then since he put 20 on him last week, and then Baltimore 38 this past week. So I don't know how, I mean, clearly they haven't been playing too many talented teams.
That's really what I get. We've talked about in recent weeks that there aren't that many talented teams.
There really aren't.
But if you look back at their schedule, the best offense that they've played in like 2 months was the Lions.
And there are nobody
that's
right
now.
That's
not saying much.
That's saying nothing.
Yeah.
That's like saying they played Miami or Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you look at the last 3 weeks against the Packers, Bengals, and Ravens. They were lucky to win all three of those games.
Yeah.
They really should have lost all three of those games.
They should have.
Never mind won all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all because of poor defensive performances.
Yeah.
They weren't really offensive issues in those games, besides the turnovers against the Packers.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
so this defense, it gives you an opportunity to beat them.
Yeah.
And I mean, when you remove Ryan Shazier, the centerpiece to this defense, what it was really built around, then things fall apart even worse. And we saw that against the Ravens.
Yeah. You've already mentioned Cameron Hayward. I mean, he's pretty much the anchor of there. Javon Hargrave at nose tackle is, I mean, nothing really special from what I've seen. Stephon Tuitt's been there for years, but he's never really been anyone dominant by any means.
Just God damn, I love that kid at Notre Dame. I thought he was going to be so good.
He's just an average player.
Yeah, pretty much.
They got Tyson Alualu, however you say it.
Alualu.
Backing him up. Bud Dupree and TJ Watt on the outside. TJ Watt's going to be a great player. He's good now. He's a rookie. He's going to make mistakes. But he's solid, and same with Bud Dupree. Similar in that stance. Nothing special.
Both physically special. TJ Watt's got a better motor. But inside with Sean Spence and Vince Williams.
See you later.
Yeah, see ya.
Nothing.
And then in the defensive backfield, they have over-the-hill Joe Hayden. Across from Artie Burns, they still have William Gay. I feel like that guy is a holdover from the 2005 Super
right?
Bowl. Cody Sensabaugh. And at safety, their safeties are pretty good, actually. Mike Mitchell can lay the boom, and Sean Davis is an okay player.
Yeah, but not for coverage.
No, neither of them are really good in coverage.
Funny enough, they still have James Harrison, but he doesn't get any time anymore, huh?
And he's not that happy about it.
Yeah.
He was talking about playing at somewhere else next year.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like, next year?
He's a nut.
Aren't you like 38?
Literally. I mean, the glaring weakness of this defense is in coverage is over the middle, which is what Miami tried to shut down against us.
Successfully.
Successfully. But they have better players over the middle, I'd say, coverage-wise. than these guys.
Certainly at safety, yeah.
And even on the outside. Like you said, Hayden's over the hill.
He's over the hill.
Got cut by the Browns. I mean, if you get cut by the Browns, you can't be great.
And that was a salary cap thing.
Was it? Yeah. And Artie Burns, I don't know anything about. Like you said, William Gaines, he's just old.
He's been there for a long ass time.
Cody Sensabaugh, he plays. I mean, we shouldn't have problems getting separation from these guys.
Unless
they hold. True. Or getting guys open over the middle, whether it's running backs, whether it's Gronk, that should be pretty easy.
Gronkowski has classically carved up this defense.
Destroyed them.
Going all the way back to his rookie, I think it was his rookie season. He had 3 touchdowns against the Steelers. His rookie or second year. Yeah, they can never figure out how to cover him in the slot. Do you remember that pass last year in the regular season?
They don't have anybody. They don't have anybody to cover him. That's the problem. And they haven't addressed it.
Well, you can't really cover Gronk. You can't just go, all right, I'm going to get this guy. He'll cover Gronk, and then we're good. But do you remember the pass last year in the regular season when Brady threw that dart, that BB, up the left seam to Gronk?
Yep.
Oh, it was beautiful. I hope to see more of that. This game could really be
a slugfest shootout.
70-point game.
Yeah, a slugfest shootout. It could, unless someone's defense steps up.
And if the Patriots' defense is healthy, they have the pieces to do it.
Yeah, I don't think Pittsburgh really does.
They don't. It would have to be a similar scheme to Miami. We would have to be unable to generate any sort of separation again.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, Gronkowski would have to be eliminated. And I don't see all three of those things happen. I could definitely see the number one thing happening. They could play the same coverages, for sure. I don't see why they wouldn't. But to take out Gronkowski and for our receivers to not get any separation, I just don't see it.
Well, and on top of that, they have an okay offense or defensive line, but they don't have the talent even close to what Miami does up front.
No, not at all.
I mean, that was to me what really made that defense tick for Miami was they had Brady just uncomfortable. I mean, he was not happy, and that's what Sue said he wanted to do. He said, "I'm making sure that Brady doesn't get comfortable back there. I'm going to make him unhappy," and he did it. It was him and it was Cameron Wake, and the two other guys were good enough to do it too, but it was Sue. Sue was just blowing up everything. And they don't have a player
commanding a ton of attention.
They don't have a player close to that. I mean, for whatever Cameron Hayward is, he is not that good. Or he's not as dominant.
He's not as dominant. And they don't ask him.
Right.
He's more of a guy that eats blockers versus pushes the backfield. And all you got to do, another thing about this defense, the rush defense, we saw what Alex Collins did to them on Sunday night. Alex Collins is a retread. Who's that? Who's playing really well? I don't want to take anything away from him. But he was breaking tackles. He was making them look silly. They were getting pretty big holes through that offensive line that the Ravens were able to.
Mm-hmm.
As long as Deion Lewis is healthy and ready to go, there's no reason we shouldn't run the ball at close to a 40% of our snaps.
Yeah.
Than the 17% or whatever the fuck we did last week. If you bring some more balance, you slow the pass rush. I don't see our offense having a tough time. I really don't.
Yeah, we shouldn't. I mean, if we do, then we have some serious problems.
I also don't see their offense having a tough time. So
no.
It's really hard to call. Their kicker's been playing great. This is a really tight one. This is the reason that people are saying this is the game of the year.
Yeah.
This is the best game before the AFC Championship game, essentially.
Absolutely.
At least in the AFC.
On paper.
On paper, yeah. We could wake up Monday morning and Patriots beat them 40-21. It wouldn't shock me. That would not shock me.
And as of right now, the other way around would be a little more unlikely.
But we could lose 38-31.
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me either.
Right.
I got to think. I think we're going to win.
We have to
win. I think it's going to be real close. But I think we're going to win 38-34. Yeah.
Okay.
Their red zone defense hasn't been that great, and their red zone offense hasn't been that great either.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go 34-27.
Oh, good. For the Pats?
Pats, of course. Yeah.
And you can rebut that by saying the Patriots' red zone offense hasn't been that great either.
Yeah.
Which is true. I wonder, do you think Kenny Britt's going to play this week? Do you think Philip Dorsett can't play, right?
Doubt it.
Yeah, there's no way.
What did we trade for Dorsett?
Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Brissett. I don't know what to think about him just yet. Holy shit, either. Ben Roethlisberger threw 66 passes in that game?
They shouldn't have won. They had no business winning.
They really shouldn't have.
Yeah, Kenny Britt, I don't know what he's going to bring. He was pretty damn good last year, but he's had attitude problems and he can fall apart and not play, and that's kind of what happened to him in the Browns. So he played well in St. Louis last year, terrible this year. What are you going to get? You're going to get one or the other. Hopefully, you'd think, because he's coming to a winning team with a Hall of Fame best quarterback ever, he's going to want to play. But you never know.
Could have said that about Michael Floyd last year.
Yeah, and he
didn't bring that much.
He showed up for a game or two, and that was about it.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
That's all you really need from these guys to step in. I mean, you have your pieces there. You just need someone to contribute when that one or two games where nothing's going right.
Almost the one or two plays.
Really?
Yeah. That's kind of what we need. We could use Kenny Britt to convert a 3rd and 8. That's what I would like to see.
Yeah.
But who knows if he'll even be on the field.
And our third downs need to go way up.
Well, yeah, up from 11. Zero. I would hope it'd go up from zero.
Absolutely.
This is the real big game. Oh, shit. Saturday football starts this weekend. Do you know that? Saturday NFL football?
No.
Wow. Chargers at Kansas City Saturday night.
It's a huge game.
Go fucking Chargers. Kansas City put it together last week at home against the Raiders, but the Raiders are just death. They're just, it's over in Oakland right now.
They got nothing.
At least for this season. It's over.
What are their
Chargers are rolling big time.
That's a huge game. What else you got for real playoff implication games?
How about Green Bay at Carolina with Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, that's huge.
How about that?
That is enormous.
Carolina's got, they can make a play for the number one seed.
Yeah, it's all in contention.
They can make a push.
Now that the Eagles don't have Wentz, everything's open in the NFC. Everything.
And Carolina's got the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Vikings.
Yep.
Oh, boy. And Rodgers coming back from a collarbone injury similar to 2013. Things worked out okay for him there.
Yep.
The Rams are going to Seattle. The Rams really need this win.
Yeah, they do.
Because otherwise, Seattle would own the tiebreaker against them for the season, and I think they would be tied with their records as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a must-win game for the Rams.
And then another one that's kind of as important is the Bills-Dolphins. That could be for a wild card.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Which is hilarious.
I know, right? But the Ravens kind of have the Titans are so bad, I can see the Titans losing out.
You think so?
Yeah, I could see it happening. Titans are going to San Francisco. Now they got Jimmy G playing. I think they've won just one game in a row.
They got the San Fran, then LA, then Jacksonville. Yeah, they could definitely lose out.
They could definitely lose out. And they lost last week against the Cardinals. Inexplicable.
Blaine Gabbert throwing for 178.
Wins. That's a winner right there. Tennessee is not good. They are probably the worst team with a winning record right now.
Mm.
I would venture to say that.
So, yeah, another good football weekend.
Yeah, a lot to look forward to here. Strap in, everybody, because this is going to be one heck of a dogfight. This is one of, what is this, like, it's a 4:30 game? I bet it doesn't end until 8:30. They're just going to milk every little bit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know everyone in the country is watching it, or anyone that cares about NFL football is going to be watching this game.
Yeah.
So go Pats. Have a good rebound week. Gronkowski, please go off again. I would love it. I want to see 2 touchdowns. Wouldn't it be great if Gronk was like the friendliest guy on the field this week?
Yeah, right.
If he was like handing the ball to the ref and he was like picking people up off the pile and he's patting everyone on the back.
Just being a nice guy.
Exactly. Look how good a citizen I am. Everyone likes me.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else you want to say?
I think we're good. Strap in like you said.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week to cover this game and all the other ones in the NFL. You heard it from James. Thanks. See ya.
Adios.